the worst moments of our life.
Hey, girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of, like, worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
And we feel the pain is best or funny. Welcome to Worst
Welcome
Ever.
Welcome to Worst Ever
Welcome
Podcast.
To Welcome to Worst.
Welcome to Worst,
worst
Ever,
ever Podcast.
You bitch.
I'm your host. Alaa Khaled.
Christine Lakin. And she's a bitch.
Whatever, queen.
All right.
Today on the podcast, well, first of all, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I was in Palm Desert for 3 days helping my mentally ill cousin try to get him into a mental facility.
Okay.
That costs $3,000 a day.
Wow, that does not sound like your normal Palm Springs vacation.
It was not. Yeah. So yeah, he's doing great.
Okay. Great. Great. That's really nice of you to go down
What'd
there and
do?
Help him. You know, I've been buying doorknobs and bed knobs and
Enough
broomsticks.
About you. Listen, here's our guest today, a very special guest. My new friends. I met them in Atlanta. She is a New York selling author. Mm-hmm. She's an actress, a comedian. She's very funny, and she is I'm happy to say, a new friend. And she loves the Fireball. And another thing that we have in common, we love the Howard Stern.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Fireball and Howard Stern in that order.
Correct. Her name is Sarah Colonna.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Along with her is another special guest and our first athlete on the podcast.
Yes. Aside from my husband, who claims to be an athlete.
Correct.
I love you, sweetheart.
He is a, what do you call it, a punter, a kicker? What are they?
Punter.
Punter? A punter for the Seattle Seahawks, Mr. John Ryan.
Woo-hoo!
Super Bowl champion.
This yep. is really exciting, you guys. I just gave them coffee, and I'm not going to lie, I checked out his ring. There's a lot going on.
Well,
yeah.
Have you seen her ring?
Oh shit, girl!
And we talked about it with Arden already. So like we've already.
Oh, she loved. She like put it on when we were watching the Super Bowl. She put it on and she was so excited.
Now, in honor of having John here, I literally was going to go buy a jock strap so I could feel athletic.
No, that's not
going to
help you.
But they won't let you try them on.
No,
which I didn't understand. I was
like, wait, you don't have a dance belt?
No, I don't have a dance belt.
Oh, I'm shocked.
You're an asshole.
Basically the same thing. But.
All right, so wait, let's update first of all because you guys met how many years ago?
Just over four.
Yeah, just over four. I have to defer. Sometimes I forget.
And married.
I'm better with the dates than her.
How long are you married?
2016.
So almost 2 years. 2 years in July.
What's the date? July what?
9th.
Good for you, John. Yep. See, here's the difference. Sarah is a broad. She's like the epitome of broad. And I mean that in the most complimenting way.
No, I know you do.
You're like, she's a broad. And I have to tell you a story. Just so you know, Sarah is on the Netflix show that's coming up with my other friends, Arden, that you met on here, and Alyssa Milano.
Yes.
And
it's Insatiable.
It's
be on
Netflix.
Netflix
is coming soon. We don't know when it drops, but soon.
We think soon.
We think soon. Word on the street.
It was supposedly August, and now maybe it's sooner.
I think it might be sooner. So I remember picking up Alyssa after a table read, and I guess a bunch of characters were missing for the table read, and you read a bunch of the roles. And I'm not kidding. In the first 5 minutes of picking her up, the first thing she said to me, she goes, Sarah Colonna is a star. She is an amazing actor. And I never told you this because I was waiting for you to come on here.
Oh, my God.
She was like, she did all these characters. And I mean, she goes, it was like spot on, like, so amazing. She was in awe of your talent, just so you know.
Oh, and because I love Alyssa so much, thank you.
But no, so I can't wait to see this series because I've only heard great things about your character and what you've done with it. So
it's been super fun. I definitely got to do like more than I thought I was going to get to do, a little more emotional range than I thought I was going to get to do. So that was cool because at first I thought it was just going to be kind of a little more of a funny role. I mean, I knew that there was some little sadness coming up, but as the show is it's dark, so there's a little bit of everything. So.
And tell, what's the character that you play?
Her name is Angie Bladel. She's a alcoholic.
Great.
Struggling alcoholic, former pageant girl.
Oh, yeah.
Who got knocked up a little too early and then ended up working at a fast food restaurant that I don't think I can say the name of it's made up. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's amazing. And
really funny.
Yeah, very funny. So
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really super fun. It's really great. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that. And so let's talk about your career for a minute, because you're probably one of the hardest working women in the business, I think, because you do everything.
Well, I don't have a clothing line, so
have a purse.
Oh, I do have a purse line. That's right. That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, forget it. Yeah. Never mind.
And we'll get into that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, you like write. You how'd you start?
I moved out here right after college, and I had studied theater, and I wanted to do acting, and I wanted to do stand up. And along with stand-up, obviously, comes writing. And I wasn't sure how to do any of that. I mean, I just moved out here from Arkansas, so I just sort of stumbled my way through. I mean, it took a really long time. This Insatiable is my first, like, series regular, other than, like, Chelsea Lately, which I worked on for a long time. And then we had a series called After Lately that was scripted. So I was a regular on that, but it was on E, so sometimes I don't feel like that counts.
Well, I love that
No, it's one of my favorite shows. But
I love the after the that
yeah After Lately, Lately after, was yeah, fun. It was very like Office-y, and I loved that. I mean, I'm not comparing it to that, but it had that vibe and it was fun, and I really liked doing
it. It was
that
one
show.
Of my favorite shows before we even met.
That's
which,
true.
Which I want to get to, too, because you guys met at a... So go ahead and tell the story.
I'll make John tell the story.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Fill in the blanks. We were playing in the NFC Championship just over 4 years ago, and Ross Matthews, who's a huge Seahawk fan, you've probably heard of him.
Yeah, Big Brother.
Runner up to Big Brother. Yes, I got a start on Red Jay Carpet. Leno. Did
everything.
All of the...
And so he was on the sideline. I was like... And I had a crush on Sarah. Like, I'd seen her on TV. She was kind of like my celebrity crush. So I saw him on the sideline. I'm like, oh, here's my shot. Here's my Ian. So I just went up to him, told him I was a big fan of his, and asked him if he would put in a good word with Sarah Colonna for me. And then the next day I tweeted the same thing, and then we kind of tweeted back and forth, kind of flirting a little bit, and it just was kind of playful, whatever. And then about a week later, slid into the DM. You know?
So you start DMing each other?
So I just DM'd her my number. I said, this is awkward, I know, but here's my number.
Yeah, and I asked Ross, I was like, is this like a creepy athlete hitting on me on Twitter? Because I'm not totally against that, but I just need to know what I'm getting myself into here. And then when we started talking, I was like, oh, this guy's super nice and seems very normal. So I couldn't figure out what was going to be wrong. But still normal.
Yeah, but wait, were you a Seahawks fan?
No. I'm a huge baseball fan. I didn't even have a football team. But I'm a sports fan, and I always have been. But I wasn't a Seahawks fan. So I didn't really understand punting, I will admit. And now I know a whole hell of a lot about it.
Most football fans don't understand punting.
I don't. Well, don't worry. Because here's the great thing about being a punter, I think. You don't get tackled or anything, do you?
Very rarely.
Yeah, that's the gig.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to be a football player, that's the one. I mean, your brain is intact.
Right. Definitely. It's the one that you can play for a long time.
Right.
Kicking and punting both. You know?
Like, what's the usual retirement age for punting? And what's the difference between the punter and the kicker? I thought they were the same
person. Average career for overall is about three and a half years.
Oh, my God.
And the average rookie is like 22, 23. So, you know, not many guys make it to 30. Punters and kickers are probably like more like 6 or 7. This will be my 15th year coming up, so I've been pretty fortunate.
Wow!
And all for the Seahawks, or
I've played 10 with the Seahawks.
That's Jesus. Amazing. That's an amazing career with one franchise.
Yeah, it's a little bit more rare these days. You guys don't really stay other than quarterbacks. You guys don't really stay with one team for very long anymore. So, yeah, I've been lucky.
What happens if they want to trade you?
You gotta go with it.
See, that's the thing.
I know. Yeah. That's the part that sucks is like I'm not really used to it, but it's actually interesting how similar his job is to like mine.
Right.
In the ways of zero certainty about your future. What if they want to recast you? What if they want to trade you? What if you just don't get another job? Like there's zero certainty. So you just sort of, I think we actually had an easier time getting along because of that. Like we both understood each other a little bit better. You know, like uncertainty, travel, all that stuff. It's like,
They're just such like a similar lifestyle in a way that, you know, something might pop up right now and I have to stay at work for 4 more hours and I just, you know, date nights off or whatever. She might have all of a sudden a last minute comedy weekend somewhere and it just, you know, it changes what we're doing. And that's just absolutely, the other person understands it 100% because that's how we've always had it. Whereas in the past, I know I've dated other people that just didn't understand that.
Yeah.
You know? And I think you probably have too.
Yeah. Or people who wanted to also be successful and then get mad when you start having success.
Right. Yeah.
That's always fun. Yeah.
When you, especially that's tough. So wait, your first date was where?
I'll go.
In LA.
So
you flew down?
Wow, look at you with the dates. Dating everything.
Yeah, he does know everything. Oh, yeah. Well, during the it was during the Super Bowl that we started talking. The one that they won.
Oh, great.
That,
in New York.
It was the week of in New York. So he was texting me from like an Applebee's in New York or something, or New Jersey.
It was a Chili's.
It was a Chili's. Sorry,
trying to brag.
Well, you know what I love about the Chili's is the frosted mugs for the beer. That's so I love good. Ordering like a cheap. Light beer from Chili's because of that fucking frosted mud. Go ahead.
I can relate to that. I grew up in Arkansas. Like
chasing
a frosted
fireball mud. Shot.
I love it chilled. It has to be chilled though. I can't have that.
No, you can't have a warm beer or a warm mug. Yeah. But we were talking that week, and then the night of the Super Bowl, I'm watching the game with all my friends, and that was when I realized I didn't understand punting at all because he only had to punt one time because they were killing the Broncos, and so because they were making touchdowns, he didn't need to. So I looked at my friends and I was like, they don't seem to let him play very much. Do they not like him? And my friend, who really is a huge football fan, she was like, oh, sweetie, if this is going to work out, you have a lot to learn.
They cut all his scenes. I don't understand.
Seriously. It's exactly.
That's exciting. That's the mentality.
So funny. Yeah. But now I scream at people in the stands if they don't understand punting. So that's fine. But after they won the Super Bowl, he was texting me all night. And that's when I was like, we hadn't met in person yet, but we'd been talking a lot. And that's when I was like, oh, this feels like he might be pretty serious about me. Because if there's one moment that a guy can probably just run around New York with his dick out, it's probably right after he wins the Super Bowl, right? And instead, he was just like telling me what he was doing, taking photos, showing me like, just like sharing it with me.
Where are you?
I was just drunk at a party in L.A.
Oh, you were in L.A.
Yeah, I was here, so...
Oh, that's so funny. But because I thought part of the story was Ross, was there a bet if the Seahawks win?
No, I think Ross told you, like, focus on the game or go win or something, and then I'll tweet her for you. Something like, yeah.
Speaking of Ross, because I just wanted to briefly talk about it because I've been waiting for you to get here. Because
it's weighing on all our minds.
Everyone knows that I'm a Big Brother fan. Christine's a Big Brother fan. You're a huge Big Brother fan?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get on.
He's been trying for a couple years.
Really?
I made a video of him a couple years ago.
Yeah, I'm trying to get on. Like, I think I'd win the whole fucking thing.
Wait, why can't you get... You can get on.
I'm working on it.
Is Alyssa going to... Have her do a video for you.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
I can imagine.
No, she won't want me to leave for 2 months.
I know, yeah.
Months.
She'll be like,
fuck that.
She'll do a terrible video. Yeah. Or she'll be like, oh, yeah, I sent it. Sure.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was obsessed with the first American celebrity Big Brother because I watched the UK one as well on YouTube. Do you watch that one?
I mean, you were real fan. Yeah.
Oh, no, he goes in. He's real deep.
You're in real deep.
Oh,
okay.
If you can watch the UK, there's several seasons of Celebrity Big Brother, and it's mixed of American celebrities and British celebrities.
Oh, I might need to watch that.
It's like nothing you've seen before. It takes this, and it's like ten times.
It's just celebrity. It's not regular.
They have a regular UK Big Brother.
Do you also watch that?
I don't because I'm not invested because it's a lot of accents.
Right. you like with Canadian? There was a Canadian one, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I could probably do the Canada.
There's a Canadian one.
Yeah, I could do that. But the UK because it's celebrity and it's a mix of celebrities from UK to. American, so you know it's worth watching.
Okay.
Anyways, I've watched every season of Big Brother. I've now watched the new Celebrity Big Brother. We all know the outcome, obviously. Marissa,
Jarrett Winoker,
wins.
Thank you. I've never figured out how to say her name. I always mess it up.
I can never say her last name. Either.
I just call her Marissa.
That's right. I've been calling Arden Mirren.
It's Marin, right?
It's Marine.
Oh well, see there you go. And I've known her for like 10 years.
That was deceiving. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always mess it up too.
Yeah. So I thought for sure Ross was a shoot. Like he was gonna win this whole thing. And when she took him at the end, and I thought, okay, there's no way that they could not vote for him to win.
Yeah.
And then she won.
They did the like bitter jury thing, right? I mean, that's what you taught me about bitter juries. Because the first season that we watched together, I forget what it was. Because I didn't watch it before. And John got me on it. And
yeah,
then
she's like, this is so stupid. When's the next episode on?
Yeah. Like, same with
she's
my
like,
husband.
Instantly addicted.
No, it's addicting.
Well, because at first I was like, what is this game where they have to like, what are they do? Hanging onto a thing and whipped cream and like what? Like... But I'm entertained by it all now.
No, and it's what's great. I mean, my favorite character on it was Meta.
Meta was great.
He didn't know what he was doing.
I mean, that was some great casting. Because when I first saw him, I was like, what a boring, he's going to be boring.
He was great.
I couldn't wait to see what he was going to say next.
He was hilarious.
It was the best. It was the best.
He wants to be on. I think your retirement plan.
Oh, yeah.
You should do it.
I'd love to be on. I think I wouldn't last long because I'd be, you know, I could never throw a comp or I'd be way too competitive. You know, when guys like strategically happens, most of the competitions are thrown. I could never do that.
See,
pushing a 60-year-old lady off a beam. And
That was another thing about Ross. I was shocked with the amount, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I just physically, I was shocked in the amount of competitions that he won.
He was a beast. He won like everything.
Yeah. See, yeah. That shows how much the mind works over the body. Because I was like.
Yeah, it's true.
He won quite a few.
Yeah.
It kept, and when he needed to.
When he needed to was the big thing.
That's the key.
Although I will say, and I feel like they rigged the certain competitions to kind of try to make it so that everybody has somewhat of a equal playing field. But for some people, like for Meta, some of these things are way harder. Like, especially if you have to stand on one of those tiny little ledges or like what was the seat one where they had to be in the seats and it kept moving forward.
And you're
like, Omarosa, it's her butt. That's why she's staying on the seat.
Oh my God, the asthma.
Oh, the asthma. Yeah. There were so many good moments.
The asthma. And I mean, asthma is a real thing. But if you have it, don't you like. I'm not like she knew she had it, right? Going to the house.
Right. And they have to do physicals before they can go. Yeah. It's not like you just throw them in.
So she bring your things that you need, your inhalers, right?
And you go press the diarrhea button, do your inhaler, and then call it a day.
Someone's going to email or tweet me something mean about, you don't understand asthma.
Trust me, it's fine. I get so much hate mail. It's ridiculous. That's why it's called Worst Ever. And I love it.
No, but she was playing it up for the show, which is my point is like a couple minutes, you know, there was a couple times where she was like,
the cough.
And you're like, okay, come on.
But the best was when they would all wear sunglasses because they, you know, the whole makeup thing. I was cracking. I just, it's so different watching celebrities. And that's when I knew I was like, this is a real show.
They always had the gold things underneath their eyes.
Oh, totally.
I was impressed with Brandy. Like, I hated Brandy going in because I never liked her on Real Housewives, and because I'm a fan.
Yeah.
And I liked her on Big Brother.
I did too, actually.
I thought she was great.
Yeah.
I thought
she was perfect for the show too.
Oh, when she said Omarosa's my bitch, I was like, that's right. Here we go. You know, I'm like, and then, I mean, I felt bad for Shannon because she.
Yeah, but she was one of the people at the end that didn't vote for Ross out of being pissed that he was as far as he was. And she's a huge Big Brother fan.
Right.
So she was one of the ones that I was kind of like, oh, that sucks. Like, you're not doing the right thing. Like, you're the best competitor.
You know, you beat me. You know, if you're a big fan of it, you should be like, you beat me fair. Like, you outplayed me. Right. So I want you to win.
Right. Yeah. It was a good season. I'm looking.
But I'm happy for Marissa because I did really like her and I enjoyed. I thought she was really funny. And I follow her on Instagram now and she really makes me laugh.
And it made her children's life.
That was the best moment. Yeah. That was insane.
Well, there was a moment we were watching. When her son came up. Yeah. Well, there was a moment we were watching at the end and I could tell Ross's face like was starting to panic, like, not about not winning, but like, oh, do people...
Was I the villain?
He even said that once. Like, that's why I could tell that he was starting to think like, oh, do people not like me? Because the way these people are voting.
Right.
And you don't know how you were portrayed on the show, right? Like, you don't know for sure. But you can't be portrayed poorly if you're just
Ross Matthews.
Yeah, yeah. You're sticking to your...
There's so many one-liners that came out of that. Oh, I mean, he had the best one-liners.
Yeah.
Diary room moments were amazing.
It was the best. Yeah. But that's why when he got America's Favorite House Guest, I was like, oh, okay. And then I waited a little bit because I knew everyone's getting a million messages. They haven't been on social media or anything forever. But I waited like 2 days and then I was like, just so you know, everyone loved you. So
he was America's Choice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that made me happy when he got
so
that.
So you would do it, John?
I would 100% do it. But I like the celebrity one better now because it looks like they got a lot more alcohol.
Yeah, I love a bar setup.
They were like almost unlimited alcohol, whereas on the other one...
I don't think they get them. By the way, this guy,
we're in Atlanta. We're going to these random drag queen bars, and it was so much fun. We had a blast, but it was a lot. It was a lot of chaos, you know.
So much chaos that night.
I was really chaotic after the. And I just look at him. I go, "Fireball." He goes, "Fuck yeah!"
And he goes, "We should hang out in L.A."
And I was like, "Oh, we're bonded." I was like,
"That's amazing."
Okay, hold on. So, as a comic, right? You started like on the circuit, like just doing.
Yeah, I mean, I started doing like open mics and shit like that, which is miserable.
When did you know that you were a good comedian and a writer?
It took a long time. I mean, the first time I ever did it, it went well, but I mean, it was like a, you know.
You invited all your friends?
Yes, of course. It's like those bringer shows where you have to like bring people and then you can get on stage because nobody knows who you are. So that's the only way to get to perform. So it took a while. And then there were moments where it was like, and then I wouldn't do well. And then I would. And then I'm like, well, how come one thing works the same, you know, doesn't work the same every time? Or like you have to really work through that because it's a lot. And it takes a really long time to build a decent amount of material. Like, I do an hour now and I'll do five shows a weekend and I try to mix it up because I can't just be like word for word all, you know, hour after hour. I'd blow my brains out. Like I just get so sick of myself, but you can't have a new hour all the time.
Right.
You know, like once a year I try to make sure I have like 75% new material so that when I start going back to clubs, maybe they'll hear the same closer or something like that. But that's cool because I've learned people like that. So I've learned to work through that. But it just takes a long time to get to where it's like, oh, you know, no matter what, it's going to be a good show because you can work with whatever's thrown at you, you know? Like before I'd be like, oh, I guess I'm terrible because last night went terrible. And then I'd have a show the next night and it would be great. And I'd be like, oh, so I guess I'm wonderful. Like what? Yeah. You know, it makes...
Well, that's the thing about comedy, right? Because I would be terrified to do stand-up only for the failure aspect of it, which is probably the best part of it in the sense of like growing.
It's the best part in growing. It's definitely the worst part like emotionally because like the first time I ever really, really tanked was like in a big showcase for Montreal Comedy Festival. And this was like early 2000s when the festival was like a big deal. And I had like 10 minutes of material. I guess it was like 2000 probably. I had like 10 minutes of material and I was supposed to do 15 and no one told me that. And I went on stage right before Drew Carey at the Improv.
Geez.
And it's just me. It's his entire crowd. He had this like big thing where he did like, whose line is it anyway at the Improv on Wednesday nights. And they're like, oh, but first here comes Sarah Colonna. And people are like, who? You know? And then I do my like, the 10 minutes that I'd been doing that was going well in other places, just ate shit at the Improv. Everyone was just like, this is not for me. I finished my set. Apparently, I still had 5 minutes left. Didn't realize it. Walked off stage without waiting for the MC to come up. Just left the stage because I was like flustered and I didn't have any more material. And I didn't know why they hadn't given
told
me
you.
The...
Yeah.
So I just like... I was like, good night. And the poor MC, whoever it was, like came running in from the bar. And then I went in the bathroom and cried. I didn't leave until this like the Improv is empty.
Oh, God.
Fun story, right? Talk about worst pod. And then,
yeah, but then what do you do? Like, do you?
Well, I took it. It took me a couple days, obviously, like to get over. And then my agent was like, look, it was their fault. They put me in a situation I wasn't ready for. I'd have been doing stand up for like.
Isn't it like the comics to blame someone else?
Yeah. But I was like, oh, I guess if they think I can do this, I can do this. They've seen what I'm going to do. They know the material. They've been helping me with it. Like, and then it, you know, so no, of course. I mean, I should have, but I didn't have enough stage experience to know how to handle that. Now, if something's not going well, I read the crowd. I move on to the next thing. It's good because I'm, you know, because I know what I'm doing now. And I'm also doing it like in front of people who are coming usually to see me because I'm headlining that show.
Do you try out your jokes on John?
Not really, but sometimes I guess I've run like premises by you, right?
Yeah.
Or I'll be like, what do you think of this idea? Yeah. But I won't like, I can't be like, hey, it's hard to try. You can't like... I don't know. It's hard to do a joke.
I think it'd be funny if you stood up by the fireplace and I was your one person audience. And you just...
Do you joke about personal stuff that happens with John
being
married to a football player?
A lot.
And how's that with you? Does it
totally fine?
Do the other guys on the football team, what's their take on Sarah?
Oh, they love her.
They do.
They love her. Yeah. So all my buddies love her. All the guys on the football team love her. It's like we have boys trip. It's like boys trip plus Sarah.
See? You're like the ultimate broad.
Yeah.
We just spent spring training for like my fantasy baseball league, and it was like the guys and Sarah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I was wondering if they were like the first time I ever talked, I think maybe about when I was talking about, what was I talking about punting? I forgot. I was talking about you specifically, obviously, but it was like in Seattle at a show, and like one of his bosses was there. Right, Peter McLaughlin was there, and
the president
of the team was there, and I was just like, and his kicker at the time, Stephen Hauschka, who were really good friends. He came too, and then I was like, oh, is this going to be?
Should
fun?
I change?
Like,
this
is this bad? Yeah, but I think you know, it's like anything else. People like to laugh at themselves, so
they love it even more when you make fun of me.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that's part of the whole thing. So wait, so. Because you said kicker and punter, and I'm confused. Why do they have a different person doing kicking?
Just two different skills.
What's the difference?
I compare it to a golf swing to a baseball swing. Whereas, you know, just because you hit a baseball doesn't mean you can drive a ball 300 yards. You know, it's just two different. And to be at, like, the elite level, you have to concentrate on just one.
Drafted out of college?
Drafted out of college to play professionally in Canada. So I played 2 years in Canada before going to the U.S.
Oh, you're a Canuck?
I'm Canadian, yeah.
See? Oh. That's why he's so nice.
That makes a lot of sense.
I mean, it's very true. Canadians are the nicest people.
They're the nicest people.
Yeah.
I've never
met Midwesterners. I have to say, I know a lot of really nice people.
I'm not going to agree with you on that one.
No, they...
It's because her husband's a Midwesterner, so she's trying to fight.
No,
for his
I said
rights.
That, but I've always said that.
No, Midwest and the South. I mean, definitely people are more polite in those areas, usually. But Canadians are like to another level.
Oh, agreed.
I mean,
yeah.
They're the nicest people.
Hi, sorry.
Everything's hi, sorry. Where are we? Yeah. No, I love Canadians.
We're trained to say sorry a lot.
Yeah, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know? So then, you were on Chelsea Handler.
Yeah.
On air and writing for her?
Yeah, I started just on air. I was still bartending actually at that time, even when I started just on air with her. I was doing like this hidden camera show called Scare Tactics that I worked on.
I remember that show.
Oh my God, it was so much fun. Yeah, it was so much fun. I was like a regular on that, but a regular on that doesn't get you to quit your bartending job. So I was like, you know, still working, doing the road. I was getting like better gigs stand-up wise and stuff, but like always terrified to quit my quote unquote night job, I guess. Just because, especially with bartending. And he was like, if I got a gig and wasn't there for 3 weeks, he didn't care as long as my shifts were good. Like, it was cool. But yeah, I started on air at Chelsea Lately doing just commentary. And then
like the panel?
The panel, yeah. And then after a year of that, I was becoming really regular on it, and then I was getting like a lot better stand-up gigs too, because that was you know, it's a show with comedians, right. Like, yeah. So people would like learn. I mean, it was great for comedians. It was like people learned who you were. I mean, the first time I sold out an entire tour from my first book tour was definitely because of the exposure on that show. And then after a year being on the air, they asked me to start writing, so I wrote on it then for 5 years.
That's
so
great.
You would write what, the openings or the...
Yeah, well, it's amazing. The writer's room was like, we wrote the opening, there's a lot of sketches as the show went on. Mm-hmm. It became more of like sketches here and there. Usually, you know, topical related of like entertainment business or whatever. And then, for her too, like we would write jokes for the topics. We had to find the topics and pitch them, and then we would write jokes for her for those topics, and I'd say it was like 50-50. Sometimes she'd use them, and sometimes she'd just go completely off on her own. So it was like...
Cool.
Good relationship, nice to work with?
Yeah.
Because you get mixed reviews. You hear different stories. Like, I was listening to Howard Stern, you're a Howard Stern fan.
Yes.
I don't know if we could talk about this or not, but
I
want to bring it up, right?
Yeah.
You know, there was that whole, like, controversy between her and Joan Rivers. And I think it was resolved in the end.
Yeah, I forget what that one was.
It was something about how Joan was upset that she wouldn't give her the respect that she thought she just, or she, it was a whole like.
Yeah, I actually kind of, I can't remember.
I can't remember the exact scenario. I was wondering if you remember.
I think it did get resolved, but yeah, I think because Chelsea too, like sometimes her like first response to someone is to insult them, think like, but she's joking,
right?
But I mean, Joan Rivers can appreciate that if anyone,
yeah, right?
Right, she could. But I think sometimes in certain situations, it's like, wait, you know, it can throw you off. So maybe it was something.
Yeah, it was weird. It was a weird. I was like, it made me look at Chelsea a different way for a little moment until it was resolved because I love Joan Rivers. If that makes any sense, I was like loyal to the Joan.
Well, do you remember the thing with Heather McDonald when they were like, because that was a thing that was blown out of proportion to me.
I heard that,
Because it was like this girl, Heather McDonald, who worked on the show, had in a podcast said that she was terrified for every day for her job. And then the people that did that podcast grabbed that headline without, and sent it to like TMZ.
Right.
They got a lot of listeners and then it became a thing. And I actually listened to what she said and she was just talking about when you're working in this business, you're always afraid for your job. Like, are you still working? Are you,
like especially as a comedian, as a,
on a show
writer,
that, you know, you don't know where it's up and down. Yeah. Like, yeah. So that's actually what she wasn't talking about. Chelsea specifically. So it was kind of like blown out. And then they ended up talking and Chelsea was like, sorry, I actually heard what you said. And I'm like, now I get it. Like, you know, like it was fine.
Yeah.
Cause she didn't.
She's.
But it was, you know, she's definitely moody.
Well, who isn't?
Yeah.
The moodiest queen I know.
Well, once she was the whole E thing that she said on Howard.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
I was like, rut-row.
I was listening. And I was like,
She basically ended on Howard, right?
Yeah.
The comments she made.
I will say by then, luckily, so the last year of that show, I wasn't writing on it anymore. I was just doing panel because it was like, you kind of had to make a decision. And I had sold my book to be a show. It didn't get made, but it got, I don't know. I sold it anyway. We wrote a script and they didn't like it, but that happens. But we sold it twice actually to NBC for like development. So the more I was getting work, the more it was kind of like, either you got to stay or you got to go for this. Not from them, but just in general, it was like kind of known that you couldn't pursue things because you were there.
Right.
But then you were getting exposure because you were there. So it was sort of like, you don't want to seem ungrateful. Yeah. So, it kind of became while I was like during the last year, I was like, I feel like this show might not be on much longer and I don't want to be in a unemployed position like, hey, fresh off of show that just got, you know.
Right.
So but luckily they were like, you can stay on as the panel.
Oh, so that's cool.
So I was still on it. Nobody even knew I didn't write on it anymore, except for like any psychos that may have like paid attention to the credits. but yeah, so I was like, I was just stayed on it for a year. So when it ended, when I was listening, I was like, oh, I'm so glad that I'm not in that writer's room right now because this is going to be an awkward morning.
Oh, that Howard Stern moment.
What did she say?
She literally ripped E apart.
She just ripped E apart.
Ripped them apart. And they're still doing her show. It's not off the air.
Right.
It's like still happening.
Yeah.
They're still in production. And she rips E a new asshole.
Yeah.
And that's...
It was done like a month later.
But then it ended up better. She got that Netflix deal. And
yeah.
Have you seen the Netflix show?
I've seen it. Yeah. It was good. It was just a hard space, I think, for a talk show. Yeah. They don't think they'd figure out. But she was great, obviously, but I just
think different format.
Right.
Yeah. They hadn't figured it quite out yet. But then... But then she either quit or it got canceled already. I mean, not already. It went on 2 years. But I think either they didn't figure it out or she didn't want to do it anymore. One of the two. I'm not sure.
Did you ever meet 50 Cent?
I did. I had Thanksgiving dinner with 50 Cent.
Wow.
Did you join?
This was before me.
It was before you. I know. I'm sorry. The best thing about it, I was so excited when she started dating him because I was like headlining. She was headlining and she would take one of us with her when she would tour. So it was cool because even though we were headliners, it was like we could open for her and she'd want us to do like 45 minutes, like a regular, like a full set because then she could be up there for an hour and everyone would get like a 2 hour show. So it was like I got to do like Radio City with her.
Wow.
She brought you to really cool places. And I was doing a show with her in Nashville and he was coming and my parents were coming. And my parents...
Arkansas.
My parents came from Arkansas. They drove a trailer because they wanted to camp. They went and made it into an entire camping trip. They drove a trailer. My mom called me at one point, was like outside the hotel, and she's like, there's nowhere to park the trailer. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? I was like, that's because it's a hotel. And people here don't need trailers because they stay in rooms. I love my parents. They're so supportive. But they were, but they made it into this whole trip. So then I had like, it was just the basic, it was like the difference of 50 Cent being at the show. And I was like, oh my God, he's going to meet my parents. It's going to be amazing. And I just, and he was the sweetest man. He like walked right up to my stepdad, shook his hand. He was like, you must be so proud of your daughter. How cool is this? Because we were at, I want to call it Barnhill Arena, but that's in Arkansas. Why can't I think of the name of the huge...
You're in Nashville.
In Nashville, the place.
Randall Opry?
The big place. No.
Dollywood?
No. No, it's a big stadium. Or like, not a stadium, but they play sports there too and do songs, the music. Bridgestone Arena.
All right. Look at you.
I said they do sports.
We got there.
Yeah, we got there. Thank you. He speaks me. So it was really cool. And then we went out with him that night, and my sister was so excited because she came too. We went out with him everywhere. And then, yeah, he was like, he was, I used to say he was my favorite stepdad because she went through a few boyfriends and they all became like around, you know, they'd be around. So they would be like, your stepdad. And then he was in town for Thanksgiving and she had other plans, but her brother was going to Thanksgiving dinner with him. And so was, oh, I forget, another friend. And Chelsea was like, hey, would you mind going to dinner with Curtis? And to Thanksgiving dinner with Curtis because I can't be there, whatever. She was just like, I think.
What?
And I was like, would I mind? Like, yeah, I want to go. So we went to a restaurant and people were just staring at like, who are these three white nerds with 50 Cent at Thanksgiving dinner on Sunset Boulevard?
What do you talk about?
Oh my God.
I don't even remember. I was probably just smiling and eating turkey. We just had talked about everything. He's super normal, honestly, to talk to. Like, we had the best time, but like the people trying to figure out who we were with him and why was my favorite.
Yeah. Did Chelsea ever call him 50 Cent?
Or yeah, what do you call him? Curtis.
She called him Curtis, but she would call him 50 on stage.
Oh, okay.
Because she had this joke about, I forget, she had this joke one. It actually really made me laugh. She had a joke about something. I was after they broke up, but she was like, who would date somebody with a number in their name? And then she was like, oh, wait.
No, she's funny. I respect her a lot. I think she sort of changed that late night format for the better.
Yeah. You
know? And she's carved her way into the, you know, that arena. I think I think she's fantastic.
Oh, she brought us a lot. She did a lot for comedians too, for sure.
Like, and women.
Yeah. Because it was the only show that had three comedians on it a night, so you had constant exposure. Clubs were like, loved it because she'd let you plug a date literally on air. You could just be like, I'm at the so and so Funny Bone this weekend, and they, you know, clubs are like, okay, well, that was a free advertisement that we don't have to pay for on TV. Yeah,
yeah. Worst job ever.
Oh, I used to. Oh, you have to tell yours too.
Oh, he will.
He has. Okay, sorry. but I felt like I was talking too much. I had this coffee is very strong. had to call hotels and pretend that I was going to stay there, and then do a checklist on whether or not the person on the phone, the reservation agent, like asked me the right questions.
Oh my God, you're a secret shopper.
I was a secret shopper on the phone to like really nice hotels in my shitty one bedroom apartment in Hollywood with zero air conditioning in the summer, and I couldn't turn on the fan because I had to record the calls, and so there couldn't be any noise in the background. And I'd like call the Four Seasons in like Lanai and make a reservation and thinking I'll never be able to go there. Not really, but I'll get $20 for this call.
Like, it's like $20 a call.
It was something like that. It was actually pretty good money.
I think I would do that.
Yeah, it's a terrible job. I feel I don't even know if they do it anymore. I mean, I literally had to have like a tape recorder plugged into my phone.
This is probably pre-online like booking.
This is in 1927.
Yeah. I didn't ask your age, but I'm assuming it's around. I mean, because why wouldn't you just do it online?
I don't know. It was, I guess, because it was like a customer service thing where they wanted to know what the person was offering. I mean, because people do still call and make phone reservations, so it probably still exists somewhere.
Listen, when I call any airlines or anything, if it's someone out of the country, I just hang up until I get someone from like Oklahoma. I'm not kidding.
You're such an asshole.
Well, let me tell you why, Christine. Because I always like try to finagle like free change fees and all that kind of stuff, and so I go for the Southern call because I can talk country if I need to, right? I can be that with that person.
Okay.
So, like, say I want to change my ticket or whatever, or like, there was one time where I was going to New Orleans and my friend was having a baby. And so, my I had to, so I was lying and saying it was my sister having a baby and I'm stuck. I got to change my ticket. So I kept changing it because she was still in labor, my friend. So I couldn't leave. And so I kept changing it and changing it. And they're like, it's going to cost you this, this, this. And I was like, okay. And then I would just hang up and try someone else until I got the right person.
When the nice Southern person who's like, okay, person. That's, you need to be there for your friend.
Exactly. Yeah. And they go, let me see what I can do.
Yeah.
You know? And then.
You don't understand. My sister, it's her first baby.
Listen. Yeah. Because they always go, hey, how are you? This is blah, blah, blah. How are you? Who am I speaking with? I'm like, this is La Khaled. And she was like, hi, how's your day? And I was like, oh, girl. If you only knew what I've been going through today. That's why I'm on the phone with you. And I would just like go for it. And then it works. It's just a little trick.
I might have to have you do that for me sometime.
What was your worst job, John?
Well, I had a lot of really bad jobs in college because in Canada, I played college football in Canada where we didn't really have like big scholarships. We had to pay for half our own tuition and everything. So I always had like a terrible job.
Yeah, but you get free medical, dude.
Oh, we get free medical. Medical. So one summer, my job was to work at a water park and I was a janitor there.
In Ooh. Canada?
Yeah. It was, we have warm summers for 7 weeks. And so my job was the janitor. And every morning, the day after 300 kids ran through the building all day, I had to go and clean 20 bathroom stalls.
Every day?
Every morning. That's how I started every morning. I was in college, so I was hungover.
And water parks
are the worst. They're like the nastiest bathrooms. I'm sure the Canadian ones are nicer because everyone's nicer.
No, this place is pretty bad.
No, they just apologize to you when you slip on some child's shit. That's they're not nicer. They're just...
So that was probably my worst.
Did you ever get like E. coli or anything like
no.
that?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Worst date ever? Have you dated any other celebrities?
No, I haven't.
Any other...
Here's my worst date ever. I was going on a first date in Phoenix. I used to spend the off seasons in Phoenix. I went on a first date, and this girl wanted to go to the comedy club. Ironic, right? I've never been to a comedy club. Anyways, went out for dinner, then went to this comedy club, and we were just drinking. And the way the stage was set up is I was kind of had my back to her, and she was behind me. And so we were kind of both looking at the stage, and all of a sudden, I just hear, like, bang. And I turn around, and it was her head hit the table. Apparently, she was so drunk, she had just, like, passed out on the table. I'd, like, carry her out. This is the first date.
Oh my God.
It was the last date, too. It was the first and last date.
Did you get lucky?
No.
Oh, Hashtag me too. Just checking.
What about you, Sarah?
I think it was when this guy picked me up. It was like three levels. His car was super, super, super dirty. Like it almost looked like he'd actually purposely just put trash all over just so I'd have to step. Like, it was just a little excessive where he could have just maybe taken out some wrappers or something, you know, like not people wrappers, but like the food wrappers. I was like, why am I stepping on all this crap?
Ew.
And so it was started off. I was just like, oh, this guy's nut. And then we were going to a Dodgers game and it was July. So it was not cool outside at all. It was very hot. So first of all, I offered him $5 to pay for half of the parking, and he took it.
He did?
Yeah. And so I was like, like, just pay for the parking. It's the first date, whatever. And then we went in. It was steaming hot. He goes, oh, do you want – oh, I'm going to go get a beer. And I was like, awesome. So he goes to get a beer. He comes back with a beer for himself.
Shut up.
And it's like, oh, and like literally he's drinking. He's like, oh, so refreshing right now. And I was like, is it? Because I'm fucking dying. Like, even if I'm just going to get the next round, at least like offer to get a beer also for me.
Right.
And then on the way home, this was a real kicker. On the way home, we stopped at Amoeba Records, which was like where you can buy and sell CDs. And I was like, oh, he wants to go into this like CD store and see maybe what my music is. I don't know. It's kind of cool. But when we get out, he opens up his trunk, gets out a whole thing of CDs. He's going in to sell CDs.
No.
And I was like, take me home. Just take me home.
God.
Like, at a bar. I met him at
like, there needs to be classes for more so for guys. Like, clean your car before the first date.
Yeah.
Iron your shirt.
Or just
buy two beers.
Yeah.
Don't take somebody out if you can't.
Pay for the fucking parking.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, yeah. Or I'm fine with going Dutch, but. If I'm going to go get a beer, I'm going to say, do you want one too? And then you can get the next round. I mean, that's usually how human beings work.
Yeah.
But then when he wanted to sell CDs, I was like, just sell CDs on your own time. I don't need to be here.
Yeah.
I don't need to go to your garage sale with you.
That's so weird. Like, that's a lot of, that's a lot to do.
There was a lot.
There was a lot in one day.
Yeah, a lot of failures in one day.
Yeah. I mean, Yeah, you're a big baseball fan.
Yeah.
Are you a Dodgers fan?
No, I'm an Angels fan.
Okay.
My dad was a sports editor for the Register, for the Orange County Register, so he always covered the Angels. So that's like why I grew up going to Angels games. So coming out here from Arkansas every summer, it was baseball season. So that's why cool. I mean, he covered the Rams too when they were here like the first time. Mm-hmm. So I did go to a Rams, like it's probably the only other professional football game I'd been to as a kid was the Rams when they were here for the first time. But then, but it was always baseball
season. I can't watch baseball on TV. Like it's,
I could watch it all day.
I can't, but I'll go to a live game.
Yeah. I love the live games.
And it's so much fun. But if they go past the ninth inning, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah. Like, well, because they stop serving alcohol.
Well, yeah. And I'm just like, this is ridiculous. Like, what the fuck? And I also think, I have a scenario that I think would change baseball and make me want to watch it more. Is the players get paid entirely too much money. Entirely too much money. It's ridiculous the amount of money these players get. And they only play one position. What I would like them to do every inning is rotate. So they have to play a different position. And then it could be a whole thing where everyone in the crowd goes, rotate, like you can make it like crowd friendly, right? But then I'm like going, okay, they're earning their money. You know what I mean? Like that motherfucker should be he should be going to play shortstop for a little bit. And he should go outfield.
Right.
You know what I mean? Someone else should be catcher. Let's see how they do there. Let's like make this game like, you know what I mean?
But you have to practice at your one profession.
It's a fun idea, but it's a terrible idea.
I think it would be huge.
I mean, the rotate part.
I love that.
Rotate.
You have like a different celebrity yell out rotate every inning.
I think it's a
special contest winner.
Yeah, I think it's just. I think it would be a really good. And then I would feel like, okay, you earned your $13 million, whatever. You know,
you can do it all.
You can do it all.
What do they call that? Five tool. Is that what they call somebody
player.
That can do everything? Five tool player.
I didn't even know that.
Well, what can I say?
Look at
I'm
you
a
guys
sports
throwing
genius.
Out.
When you're a kicker, I mean, or a punt, you're a fucking punter. Is a kicker get more money than the punter?
They used to, but now it's pretty on par.
Okay. I want to make sure that you get the same.
Pay equity, like, yeah, man.
That's right. So
I want a lot to come to a game like next season, and then whenever someone has to kick a field goal, he'll just scream rotate, and then you can come up and be like, oh, I guess I'm gonna
like that D lineman like, oh crap,
yeah.
Terrible time for a rotate call.
Did you take like a ballet class or anything?
No,
like that?
No, I started punting when I was like 7 years old. I just always done it.
That position it's very specific, mm-hmm. Like what made, you know what I mean? Like
what made, how?
How does that happen?
You want the whole story?
Yeah.
I was obsessed with football since the time I was like 3 or 4. And I started playing like tackle football when I was 7 with kids way older than me. But then it always kind of came to the thing where we'd go after school every day. My brother and all our friends would go play football like every single day. And then they'd get bored and my brother and I would play football together. Then he would be done with it. And then I was just left alone with footballs. The only thing you do when you're left alone with football is kick them. And that's literally how it started.
Wow.
And that just happened for years and years and years until I just became so obsessed with it. And it, you know, because in high school I was a running back. In college I started at receiver for all 4 years. So it was always, I always just loved football. And I happened to be able to punt as well. And I love that, you know, just to get me on the field more. And then when I went pro, that kind of took off.
It's so
fascinating.
It's fascinating because I'm like going, like, that's a very specific position in the sense of like, no one goes, oh, I want to be a punter. I mean, I don't think that happens, right?
No, most guys start off as soccer players, and then when they get to high school, they kind of become kind of recruited by the football team or whatever and become punters or kickers.
Oh. Is there, like, a specific, like, I mean, is there, like, a training for, like, punter? Like, is there just, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just you're kicking the ball.
Yeah, no.
I think I could be a punter.
It looks like that from the outside. It looks like that from the outside, but it's more, I won't say physical, but you depend on your body a lot. I work out with the linebackers or the running backs, similar workouts to them, because it really is more of a full body movement than you might think. And for me, I'm
sorry,
6 feet tall. I'm 6 feet tall, but I'm the shortest or second shortest punter in the NFL. They're all so tall with you know, long legs and all that, so they have a bit of an advantage on me. So I've always kind of relied more on strength. So I've always worked out a lot to kind of keep that up.
The part that fascinates me about it is like you. And same with kicking is that they have to train yourself to be like, I either have to kick this 65 yards or I have to kick it 40 yards, or sometimes you want to kick it shorter on purpose. And it's like, to be able to have that control, I mean, I just be to kick it and see how and like hope for the best is totally. All I can ever think of.
What was the worst punt ever?
I had a game in 2006 in Chicago, and it was like minus 20 with the wind. The wind was blowing at 40, and I just barely caught the ball, and just like it went like 9 yards straight out of bounds.
Oh my god, we have to find that footage.
No, don't.
No, we don't. Can we balance that with the best punt ever?
Like, do you get yelled at by the
situations like that? No, and now like. I think now that I've been doing it for so long, and I've been with the same special teams coach for going on 9 years now, that you know, when I screw up, I know.
You know,
before anyone, right. You know, when it's going to go bad, and I'm harder on myself than anyone could be. So it's very rare that they would say anything to me now at this point. When I was younger, I used to get yelled at all the time, though. But
yeah, well, that's different. But you're getting paid now too, so this, you know, I would expect more from you.
rotate.
Do you hang out with the other wives or girlfriends?
I have a few of them.
Is it like Wags?
I know, because I love Wags too. We love to watch Wags
and be like, this is so not how it
She's
works.
A wag.
She's yeah. a wag.
I'm a wag, but it doesn't work like that. Like the shows. First of all, I'm always like, some of them aren't even actually married to anybody. Well, they're no, just no, like, they're,
are yeah. you really, yeah, you're just a girl that wants to get with a pro athlete.
Right.
Yeah, that right. one girl, I forget her name, but she's entertaining. But and they're always on like private jets. And I mean, I'm sure some of them have done that. I mean, but yeah. For the most part, like I used to tweet them because it would make me laugh. Like I was going to St. Louis a couple years ago when I think you guys had your opening game there or something. So I was going to St. Louis and I was like, to get to St. Louis from LA, basically take a Southwest flight. And I'm like, hashtag at Wags on E. I'm like, hey, I'm on my Southwest flight. If you guys want to get the camera crew, I got a middle seat, like
free peanuts.
The funny thing is with players and like obviously with the wives too, is the player turnover is so rapid. Like we just lost our ninth starting player in the last 4 days.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, it's like, it's rare that a guy stays in one city for longer than 3 or 4 years. Like, even some of our best players now are getting let go of, and they've been there for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, forever. Like my first year, I made closer friends with like Lindsay Hauschka, the kicker's wife, because she, you know, that's who you're around most of the time. And we're still good friends. And then, and then he went to Buffalo. And then last year there was Jermaine Kearse's wife, and then they went to New York, and I was like, I'm running out of people that I've made friends with. Yeah. And then now Deshaun Shedd's wife, because he just got traded.
At this point, everyone's so young. Like, we went out for dinner with a new guy on the team and his wife, and we were old enough to be their parents.
Oh, wow.
We met them in Phoenix, and I was like, he walked in and I was like, what? And he's like, Sarah, this is the people that I work with. And I'm like, he looks like he's 12. He looks so young. He was so nice, but he did. He looked like he was 12 years old.
Because like with baseball, the wives and the girlfriends, the wives are very territorial, and they're like, there's like, it's almost like a little club. It's
yeah.
Like, did they accept you easily?
Well, I was worried about that. I was very paranoid that they weren't going to be nice to me, because I do watch Wags, and I just assumed that was real life, but it's so not. No, they've all been really, really, really nice to me. And like when we took this trip to Minnesota, which was a playoff game where all the wives, I was telling you about this before I think we started taping, but all the wives decided to get a suite together because it was going to be 1 degree in Minnesota. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to sit. And I asked John if I should do it. And he was like, yes, because you're going to hate your life if you don't sit in that suite with them and like just pay for it. It's fine.
And this is before they had the new stadium.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. This is
they played outdoors for like 2 years in between.
They were playing in their college stadium or whatever. And it was so cool. So we got there and there was like a bus. And like the last person on the bus was Sierra, who was like,
oh my God, I love Sierra.
In her Russell Wilson jersey, and her son's so cute. Just like the sweetest girl in the world. Like, just, you know, she was so nice. She is so nice. And then we all got to the stadium and we all watched from a suite. And John actually got hurt during that game because the ground was so cold. He ended up breaking his nose.
Did you slip?
It was a mess. I ended up running at the ball and I got like head over heels and went basically landing my whole body on my nose.
It was a bad snap, we can say. Ooh. It was a bad snap.
Broke my nose like in half. But this was like 3 minutes into the game. So I was like, this is going to be the longest game ever. It was 0 degrees. And then I was like, it's going to be awful. And then we start playing. The very first kick, I break my nose. I'm like, oh, it's going to be really long now.
Wait, you stayed for the game?
Yeah, I played the rest of the game, yeah.
And so I know, I thought I was like, so I guess he's going to be out. But I was in there. All the wives were like, okay, this is who, they all know because they're used to their husbands getting hurt and I'm not. So they were like, you need to call Mo. And they're like giving me Mo's phone number to call to be like to check on John. And And they're very responsive. They let you know, okay, he's fine, this and that. Because I looked and I was like, he was like, just the whole face was bleeding on the sideline. And he just played the whole rest of the game. And I was like, are you out of your mind? But
do you have surgery there or do you fly back?
They put it back into place there.
Oh, my God. Send me that picture.
They did. They put it back into place.
They waited till after the game. And then I went and saw her, and then they took me back into the room, and I was like, just stay here, because they give you, like, they grab your nose and, like, put it back in the
place. God!
And then...
Rotate!
See?
Could have used the rotate before that play.
Yeah.
And then when I'm done my career, I'll have to get it cleaned up in there a little bit.
I said it was a bad snap. I don't want to throw the long snapper during that game under the bus, but they said that the worst thing about that game was going to be anyone trying to kick, period. Like... Because the balls are like bricks when it's that cold. So it was just like the guy couldn't get it to him. I mean, it was just a combination of a million things. But
so they
show him the
you.
Picture from afterwards.
I showed him both of them. Oh, there's the one during the game.
You're out of your mind.
Oh my God.
The next one is
that's gross. Oh, that's disgusting.
Oh my God. You look like you have two noses.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a good sport about it. He tweeted the next day. He's like, you should see the other guy, which is the field, you know? Yeah, so right. It was really funny.
That's crazy.
I was going to say, when I saw you in Atlanta, John, we talked a little bit because it was right before the Super Bowl. And Christine's a huge Vikings fan because her husband's a Vikings fan. And you
married
said,
into that one.
You said, I said, what do you think about the Vikings? And you go, they're going to go all the way to Super Bowl. And then...
I 100% thought they were.
It was heartbreaking around here. My husband's really still not over it, so he'll be very excited to meet you when he walks in the door, but please don't mention the Vikings. It's still a heartbreak for him. And in fact, Alaa brought over, you know, some Super Bowl swag, and it's very sweet, and I know there's a little part of him that's going to be like...
Well, I told him it's coming, because it says Minnesota on it, and he's from Minnesota, or wherever the fuck he's from.
It would have been so cool for them to play at home. For the Super Bowl.
It would be the first time ever, right?
Yeah. Really
that's
cool.
Great. I can't believe that's
Speaking
never
Speaking of
happened.
Super Bowls, I have a strong... I love going to Super Bowls, but I think they should be in places where there's A, you can be more of a pedestrian and not have to rely a lot on like traveling afar.
Yes.
It should be in warm climates. It should not be in... And God bless you, Minnesota and Minneapolis. The stadium is gorgeous, but like... anything so outside of the stadium at that time of year is ridiculous. And so, like, my favorite place is New Orleans. I think New Orleans hosts one of the best Super Bowls ever. They always host.
They used to host it almost every second year. They hosted it all the time.
They host amazing Super Bowls because you don't have to rent a car. Everything is walkable. The stadium's there. There's plenty of hotels. You know, a lot of these places are like, they're trying to, like, build new hotels, and now there's Airbnb. So people are, you know... We usually go for Super Bowl weekend. It's three night minimum, and it's $3,000 a night per room.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's an expensive sport as it is, and if you want to get a ticket, forget it. It's like you're paying thousands and thousands.
Oh, Alaa was trying to get him for me before we knew that the Vikings weren't going to make it because it was my husband's 40th birthday.
Oh,
and I was like, okay, if they get in, okay. Like, yeah. I will eat that. We will do it because that's worth it. But, you know, next year Atlanta and then Florida and then L.A. So all warm states, my friend.
Yeah.
That'll be good. Even though Places Miami sucks.
Atlanta can be cold during time of year.
It was an unexpected. We had unexpected
weather.
Two,
like, snowstorms.
Yeah, that's right. You guys did.
But it's unexected. Like, it's not normal. That was not normal.
No, they haven't had a normal year at all.
That was not normal at all.
Sarah, I want to ask you about worst auditions. Because coming from a, you know, a stand-up background, but then starting to, I'm sure you've auditioned for millions of, you know, comedies, and it's a very different, you know, vibe going to audition for people.
The worst one I had was, like, I'm still not sure what happened. Like, I don't know what I did, that was the reason it was the worst, was this was, it was several years ago, but I went in to read for... The show is The X-Files, so I guess if anyone wants to know who the casting director is, that's how you find out. But it was weird. Like, I know that I was very, not very well known, and obviously this, people weren't, like, you know, they were doing me a favor by seeing me, I guess, for a role, but I thought it went pretty well. And then I left, and then my manager called and was like, what happened in there? And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, well, you know, they just said, you know, that you just seemed like very, like the wind just blew you in. First of all, the wind did blow me in. It was like pouring rain in Los Angeles, and I have a giant head of hair, and it's curly. So by the time I got from my car where they let you park in like as far away as possible because you're a nobody, right. And walked to, you know, I mean, I had an umbrella, but it only does so much good. Right. And I walked to where I was, like, I was a little, you know, I mean, everyone was that was coming in. Everyone was like drenched. And I, but this reminded me of something, but okay. But so I went in and did the best I could in the, you know, bathroom to not look like a disaster. But, I had to walk like several blocks to get there.
The wind blew you in? That's such a
And he was like, the wind just blew her in. And he was like, I don't know, her hair was kind of a mess. And I was like, well, what did he say about my audition? He goes, well, nothing. And I'm like, well, so this was my appearance based? Like, so he didn't like my fucking hair? Like, I was so upset because, like, he kind of called and trashed me. And I was like, well, I don't know. And maybe something else went wrong that I don't know about. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and just assume it was just, like, not a match and it's fine. But now that I said that, it just made me so happy to remember the day that I auditioned for Insatiable. Mm-hmm. It was fucking pouring rain. Pouring rain. I mean, like, you know, the twice it does in LA, I guess.
Yeah.
And I basically ran in, you know, I mean, I had to have big hair for that audition because I was playing a Southerner. So I was like, I'll just work with it. And I booked that. So whatever. So I guess the wind can blow me in and it
you
can still work
out.
Here
for Insatiable?
Yeah. Yeah. Just in Burbank, like Toluca Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But now that just made me happy to remember that Not everyone judges you just because maybe you got a little rain on you.
Right.
Well, no, it's crazy. The appearance does. I mean,
I understood the appearance thing, but I was like, I mean, I looked. I didn't. You know, I just did. I went in and did
it's
the
like
best I could, and maybe it was supposed to be like, you know, some sort of agent or something. So maybe my hair needed to be sleeker. I don't know, but I don't have sleek hair. So it was just the dog's just barking.
That's normal day here at Aztec Studios.
Yeah.
Babies, dogs. Babies. I once had I booked an independent movie years ago, and the director said to me specifically, he's like, yeah, I mean, I just remember that first audition when you came in, and I'm thinking he's about to say, we just knew you were the one. And he's like, and I mean, you just looked terrible. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, that day that you came in, you were wearing like overalls or something and your hair was just like wet. And I was like, I have never worn overalls to an audition, nor would I ever go to an audition with my hair wet. You're not thinking of the right person. Yeah. And he's like, no. I specifically remember. And I was like, no, we have to bring her back in because I know she's cute, but she did not look cute in that audition. And then we brought you back in and you were great. And I was like, okay, that was not me. I swear to God, that was not me. It didn't matter because I had the part anyway. But like, he wouldn't give up on this like wet dog impersonation.
Oh, I would have made him go back on the tapes and find.
There's no way.
Yeah,
I went in for a commercial once. I had gained like 20 pounds. Right, it was like a summer. I gained so much weight during the summer. It's weird. You think you gain in the winter, and then you know, but I gain in the summer, and so I gained like 20 pounds. And I went in for a commercial audition. Now, you know, back in the day, they would take the
pictures,
the Polaroids, but like on the camera while you're in the room, right? So I was I would literally get callbacks 99% of the time on commercials and then be on avail all the time. Like I was like a booking magnet for commercials. So my agents call me, they go, I won't say the casting director's name, but they're like, they called us. And I was like, what? And they're like, well, and then she forwarded me the picture. They go, and all it said in the email was like, what happened?
What? Oh, no.
And I was like, what the fuck? And I go, because I was like slouching. Like, it was like they caught me, like the picture caught me like off, like I wasn't you know, I wasn't like.
First of all, these are Polaroids. Like everyone has to remember their Polaroids. Like, they're then, always bad.
And then she literally emailed it to my agent, and then they emailed, they're like, I don't know. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh my God. So I've been back since.
Oh, that's so mean.
It's horrible. Well, that's a
business. I mean, I know it's an appearance-based business. So that's why I'm like, maybe there was something more to that I didn't see in the mirror when that guy wasn't a fan of mine. Or maybe I did something terrible in the audition, but he just didn't talk about it. So I'm like, yeah. I still wish I would have known what I did wrong other than get rained on when you had to make me walk like blocks. But also, who cares?
What's the worst? You don't have to say names. But like the worst person you worked with and like the experience.
Well, how can I say that without being saying names?
You can say it.
No, I'm trying to think.
I mean,
I don't know. Do you know?
Do I know like people you?
Yeah. No, no. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. 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 Yeah, there was someone who tried to undermine me a lot when I was working at Chelsea.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Tried to. I feel like because there were times working on that show where everyone was a little bit of a yes man, I would sometimes, not everyone, by the way, other writers too, would try to be like, no, we need, like there were times that if something didn't interest Chelsea, but we knew it was a topic we needed to talk about, but she just maybe didn't watch that show or didn't know what was as big a news story. Like she didn't used to do as much social media as she does now. So she wouldn't know if something like our job was to like know what everyone's talking about so we can talk about it that night on the show. And there would be times if she didn't, something didn't interest her right away, you'd kind of have to push for it. But there were a couple of people who would be like, well, no, or like get mad. And then I would go, because I had a personal relationship with her too, or if just other writers too, if they just believed in it, they'd go to her and be like, hey, this is why it's important. Like, this is why we should talk about it. This is why it's trending. Yeah. This is this and that. And the people that had originally cut that down would be like angry that she then changed over and said yes. Like they felt like you were undermining them.
Right.
Because they were in a higher position.
Got it.
Yeah. So I had that, and it was...
I'm sure there's a lot of that stuff, especially between writers and producers and networks even.
Yeah, it was slightly unpleasant, but it's over.
But it's done. It's it is what it is.
Yeah, it's right? Just part of it. I just didn't... I didn't ever realize... I never really understood the nastiness of, like, some of that stuff until... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be kind of gross.
Is the... you know, with auditions sometimes, I feel like there are certain people in audition rooms that are... they're sabotagers.
Yeah.
Like they try to sabotage other people's auditions in the room, which is so weird and takes so much time and energy. It's like, just go and do your own thing and stop worrying about whoever else is in the room. But they either like rehearse their lines out loud because they know it'll be distracting and they know or they find out who's next and they ask who's next and then they come and sit by you and then they try to engage you in conversation so you can't.
Oh yeah, that's
like,
weird.
Just like weird, like just really weird stuff. Are comics like that backstage before you go on, or is the comedy world more, it just feels like it's more inclusive?
It's pretty supportive. I mean, I've definitely met a couple people who I could live without ever having to see or work with again. But for the most part, it's pretty, I was really lucky, I feel like, to meet when I started doing stand-up, some comedians who were also just starting or who were newer to it too, who I came like up with in a way that I'm still friends with and that like they were supportive or we'd like go to open mics together or, you know.
That's cool.
Has anyone stolen any of your jokes?
Yep. Definitely. Yeah. And like 2 years after I already did it on something, I saw someone else do.
That you knew?
Yeah.
So you knew it was it?
Yeah. Well, it was actually one of our old producers on Chelsea that called me and was like, not just, and listen, the thing is about stealing jokes is I would never do it, but B, I don't think something's always stolen. There's just only so many topics in the world. And
correct.
So I definitely don't go to stolen right away until it's word for word and it's a personal story and you're like, that's stolen. Like that's taken. Like
you're
like,
not married to
like,
a punter.
Wait.
Word for
yeah. Like to go back to Howard Stern, I don't know if you listened this past week about how that the British, the Sun newspaper.
I missed it. I know. I didn't listen all week.
Okay, so anyways, this is a couple weeks later since this is airing later. But he was interviewing J-Law, Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, I did hear her on there.
So the Sun pretended that they did an interview with her and literally quoted it word for word from the Howard Stern interview.
What?
Yeah. So Howard, this past week he's talking about it and he's like, he was pissed off that they would do this. And so he literally would play the clip from his interview and then read the paper.
Oh my God. I love Howard.
And it was insane. It was, there was not even like, they didn't even like move the words around. It was literally word for word. And he's like, unless she's a robot. And first of all, she wouldn't do an interview with the Sun.
No.
You know, it's like a tabloid paper.
Yeah.
He goes, unless she's a robot and is got these like programmed answers exactly the same way every single time.
And unless the Sun's asking the
exact same questions.
Like, Howard Stern doesn't ask.
It was,
normal questions.
Yeah,
so you know.
It's just funny.
That's That's insane. Did he sue them?
I guess he just no, you know, he's not going to, I don't know if he's, but he was so pissed off and everyone was like, you should sue. Like, JD was like, you know how JD is.
Yeah. Oh, I love how pissed off Howard gets about all that stuff. That's my favorite. I did the wrap up show.
You did?
Yeah. And I, and a couple times. Yeah. And I brought John with me and like, cause I know Gary's like such a big
he's
sports
fan. He's a Jets
fan.
I send his wife, Touched by Alyssa Milano all the time.
Oh, you do? Oh, nice. Yeah. It's, I was so excited because like, no, I didn't get to meet Howard, but I passed by him.
We walked by him in the hallway.
Yeah. but like even just to be on with John and with Gary, and it was so cool. And I got to meet JD, and like it was really fun to meet everybody. And Sal, and they let me do, I did a prank call with Richard
and
Sal.
Oh, you did? Who did you do?
I called us like a pizza shop and pretended that I needed food delivered to set. And then it was like a porn set. So, but it was so ridiculous because I was like, at one point I was like screaming, like, just shove a meatball parm up my ass. Like, something so ridiculous. Like, you know, cause it, as you do on those calls, they just get like more and more ridiculous. And they played it. John and I were in the car, and it came on out of nowhere, and I was like, oh my God, that's me.
I love that.
And then Robin commented on it, and it made me so
Rachel
happy.
Rachel Butera has done our show a few times.
Oh yeah, I love her.
She's out of her fucking mind.
I bet.
She is out of her mind. She's done our live show, and then she's done the podcast as well. She's fucking crazy.
She's so talented.
She's so good.
Yeah, she's so great. I met her because we were doing Andy Dick's podcast, and this was before...
Speaking of crazy.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of fucking nuts. and this was before he had the fallout with Howard.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so he had that big fallout. So it was before. So Rachel was doing, because he was, you know, would go on Howard Stern a lot, he kind of took Rachel... put her on his podcast. So she was like
co-hosting.
And so we're like, come do our live show. Like it was like, cause I was obsessed. I didn't care about Andy Dick. I was like, I'll do it because I know who Rachel Butera is.
Yeah.
She won that contest.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Yeah. She just is the one that does all like impressions.
The impressions.
She's Rosie and Wanda Sykes.
But she does all the cast of Howard. I mean, she does the
She does Marianne from Brooklyn, right?
She does Marianne from Brooklyn. Yeah. She does, my favorite is, what's her name? Pussy.
Oh, yeah. That was the best one that she did. Yeah. Little Lupe.
Which, God rest her soul wherever she is. Little Lupe.
I know.
I miss Little Lupe.
She was the best. Oh, Pussy. She would go Vagina Pussy. She was like a little like Latina adult film star. And I don't think you ever heard her. She's hilarious.
Oh, she's amazing. I want to plug your baseball team too. What's the deal with that?
Portland Pickles. PortlandPicklesBaseball.com.
So you have a, what would the league be called?
The West Coast League.
So it's a minor.
It's similar to minor league baseball. They call it Collegiate Woodbat Summer League Baseball, which is basically a prospect league. It's all like the top players in college baseball, NCAA baseball. And once the school's done, they have no place to play for the summer before the Major League Baseball draft, and they play in this league.
Oh,
so it's
cool.
A really high quality of baseball. It's really fun. We do some really cool things in Portland. And
it's called the Portland Pickles?
Portland Pickles.
So cute.
They have the best like merchandise, speaking of. We'll have to send you guys.
Oh, yeah, I would love it. So then that means the roster changes like every summer?
Yeah, it almost rotates 100%.
Rotates?
Every year we have five or six guys that are kind of underclassmen that will come back. But I think last year in our league there was like 70 players drafted to the majors. So it's really good baseball.
That's great.
And do they play against other local teams? Or is
it kind of goes all the way down the coast, all the way from southern Oregon all the way up to southern Canada.
That's amazing.
Up to British Columbia.
When people get drafted to the majors, are you like, do you feel like proud? Like,
yeah.
That's.
Are you a proud pickle?
Yeah, proud.
proud Papa Pickle.
When I got into this, that's what I didn't expect. I kind of love the business side of it, the baseball business side of it, like all the promotions and all that stuff. And I didn't really realize I'd have like that connection with the players. And, like being an athlete, I kind of ended up having more of a connection with the players than I thought, and it's been kind of cool. So you are proud when a guy, you know, does well or is drafted. Or something.
Who's like one of your most famous players that came out of that team?
This is only my second year that we've had this team, so we haven't had anyone really like go all the way up yet. Yeah. But we had a couple of really good players last year. I hope that it's kind of one of those things that takes kind of 5 years once you get to the minors to actually make it. So I think if I come back in 5 years, I'll tell
Here's
you.
Here's my connection with baseball, guys. I went to high school with Johnny Damon.
Okay. Yeah.
And I won the talent show in high school with his ex-wife. That's correct.
What did you guys do? What was your talent?
We danced.
Yeah, you did.
We danced. Oh, yeah.
What did you dance to?
It was a medley. My brother DJ Khaled did the actual mix.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
And it was a medley from that started out with Vogue to the Humpty Dance.
Do you have footage of this? Good.
There should be. I mean, sure, there's a VHS tape somewhere. I think there is. If any, okay, you know our fans, they'll find it. So it's Dr. Phillips High School. It is it was my senior, so 1990 talent show. That's right, Dr. Phillips.
Sounds like the original evolution of dance.
Yeah. So I went to high school with Johnny Damon, who obviously we know.
Yes. Played baseball.
We know him from The Apprentice.
Yes.
And Wayne Brady, ironically enough, I did my first high school show with Wayne Brady.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He played Judd in Oklahoma, and I played Allie Hackam.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Also need a video of that.
Yeah. There's a video of that for sure.
So wait, I want to ask you quickly about your wedding. Yeah. Where was it?
It was in Cabo.
Oh, yeah. Gorgeous.
Yeah, on the
and
beach.
And you and Ross Matthews
officiated it? Yeah.
That's
it great. Seemed like the right full
That's
circle
perfect.
Moment. Yeah. And he was amazing. He was like, what do you want me to say? I'm like, honestly, whatever you want to say. Like, that's what I want.
That's so great.
Was it a big wedding?
No, it was just like 60 people. We kept it pretty small.
That's at a awesome. Hotel resort?
Yep. At the Esperanza.
Oh, I love that name.
It's beautiful. And it was like, it was that way. It was easy. It was like they just kind of do everything.
Your families get along?
Yeah, that was the first time they'd met.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Because being like my family's still all back in Canada and her family's all back in Arkansas other than
they're never
father
gonna...
and stepmother and...
Did your
desert, but...
parents have a trailer at the hotel?
Yeah. No, they actually stayed in the hotel. They were like, oh, let's just
What's
do that.
What's this? There's soaps.
Honey, grab a few.
No, I think the trailer wasn't an option because I think her mother and my mother both had the same question. We said, are we going to be married in Cabo, Mexico? Both of them were just like, how do we get there?
Yeah. That's and are we going to be murdered?
Oh my God. So funny.
Yeah.
That's true. You don't know about Mexico.
They should take a pilgrimage, though, in that trailer up to Canada. That would be quite a
I mean,
journey.
Don't throw that out there because they might.
Did you grow up in an RV kind of life?
No. Well, they love to camp. So I'm making fun of it, but it was like they do love to camp. Like, no, we had a home, but we camped a lot, like especially during the summer. Like my whole family all would go camping together. So it was like my grandparents, us, my aunts and uncles, because everyone all lived within a minute of each other. So we all would go camping. And as the years progressed, everyone's trailer got a little bit bigger. Like, oh, now we don't have a pop-up anymore. Now we have a stove and we have a this and we have a that. And they'd like, seems like they were just trying to outdo each
they
other.
Are. That's amazing.
It was the nicest one. But yeah, and they still love to camp. And I actually really did love it. I just never need to camp again.
Yeah.
Like I loved it. I loved that I grew up doing it. I loved that we would go like out to this place called Devil's Den. We go out to the lake. Like it was fun. You'd sit around, you know. I'd probably like it more now because I could drink. But yeah. But you know, but back
That's
then
That's really I, what I feel
you
like.
You know else you can drink,
but my grandma would make biscuits and gravy like over the open fire.
Oh, and, you can drink.
Yeah.
A hotel bar.
Yes.
Yeah. That's my favorite.
Yes.
That is my favorite. Speaking of hotel bars, no, I'm kidding. I want to talk about the purse thing because not a lot of people know this.
Right.
So Sarah Colonna has, it's called Clutch, right?
Clutch Women.
Clutch Women. She's got this purse line. I don't know if you know this, Christine, but now when you go into stadiums, your purses have to be a certain size.
This just happened when we were in Minnesota over Christmas. We went to a game right before the playoffs, and we get all the way to the front, and they're like, yeah, you can't bring that in. And I was like, what?
You need a Clutch Women, girl.
I had no idea. I had to walk all the way to the bag drop, whatever, and then I had to carry my wallet in a plastic bag.
Yeah, so the tricky thing for me to get breakthrough is that people now, because they call it all clear, people just think it has to be clear. But it can be, as long as it's not any bigger than 4x5 or 6x5, it can be a regular purse.
Okay.
So mine are 4x5x6x5.
This is perfect.
So they fit right on top of the little... You know, they have a sizer.
Right.
I've never had a problem at all. And they're actually like pretty big because they can be thicker.
Right.
They just have to be the right, you know, length and width. So I came up with that idea and I make them in a few colors. I don't have a Minnesota yet, but I do have like a plain black, you know, like mm-hmm. I just had to start with, I started with Seahawks, obviously.
Right.
And so people that understand the bag policy, it's really great. And because it's like, it's perfect. I don't want it because I went to a game and I was like carrying my tampon in a clear bag. Why do we have to have a clear bag?
Right.
And then I was like, because you can't find that much that's 4x5x6x5. And if you do, it's like a thin little wallet where you can get a tampon in. That's it.
Right.
So I was like, oh, I can make a purse that actually fits your phone.
So she has these purses, which now, by the way, you know that movie theaters are now implementing this.
Well, there's concert venues are doing it. Mm-hmm. That doesn't surprise
me. It's a necessity.
Me.
You have a website?
Yeah, clutchwomen.com.
So, I mean, it's like the purse, and they're very beautiful. I saw the purses. They're amazing. Purses, yeah. They're gorgeous.
And yeah, that was the main quality. Thing to me was, and they're made here in the USA, which was a big part thing to me. They're made right here in Burbank, actually. At this factory, this woman named Maria Andonia, who has her own purse line, she helped me with the design. And they literally, like, I've gone to the factory, like, I get to go sit in there and, like, see the process. And
that's cool.
It's kind of cool. So, and then the lining of the purses all has, like, positive messages because I wanted to come up with something, like,
seriously?
You know, yeah, the lining out says, like,
oh my
like,
God, you're such, that's ridiculous.
Oh, shut up. Well, because
like
it goes
what?
With,
give me an example.
Like reasons why you're clutch.
Yeah,
why
because I wanted clutch. To do a play on the word clutch, like, you know, players are clutch. So I was like, women are clutch. So on the inside, it's like my handwriting and it says, you're loving, you're strong, you're independent, you're clutch.
I
oh,
love
that.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, do you still hate it?
I mean,
rotate.
I'm the biggest. No, so if you can, if you want to get, and they're priced reasonably.
Yes, they're under $100.
Yeah. I mean, it's a.
I love that.
Yeah, so it's clutch women.
And they're nice purses, so that's my thing was like, yes, I could make a cheap, you know, cloth one that wouldn't, but these will last. You can also take, like, I take mine out at night to, because there are concerts now that, like, you go to concert venues that are in stadiums, they won't let you have a bag over that, so.
But now movie theaters, they're changing the.
I didn't
policies.
Know that theaters.
Yeah, I saw it on the news last a couple weeks ago.
That's
movie
crazy.
Theaters.
Yeah, because so they're nice and they're made of this like really soft vegan leather, which I didn't even know that was a thing, but apparently it is. But it's like it feels like leather, but it's not. It's vegan, and so they wipe off. They're stain resistant, so like you can take it to a game in Seattle and it could get rained on, and it doesn't matter.
And let me tell you,
or so beer.
She's not
or beard on.
Sarah Colonna is not wearing a purse that's not going to be pretty. I'll tell you that much. Because if you saw her damn ring, you can't have an ugly purse and have that ring on.
That's
like
true.
Ridiculous.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. That ring, I mean, you picked the ring?
I designed it myself and then brought in a diamond guy from New York to Seattle.
Oh my God.
What the fuck?
I know. He's a hashtag baller.
This you know that you owe Ross Matthews like
at least diamond earrings.
I voted for him for America's Favorite House Guest.
Well, okay, good.
Does that count?
Did you watch the live feeds?
No, I didn't watch the live feeds. I can't get
I
that
was trying to, but I can't get into it. Like there's so much going it. On.
Yeah.
But,
there's a lot. I need the edited version.
That's fine. That's fine. This it's a beautiful ring.
Beautiful.
Yeah. When he told me he flew in a guy from New York. I was
but
like,
did you see it before? You didn't see it until he proposed. Mm-mm. Like, what was your? I'm like, where were you when you proposed? By the way,
we were at our house in Seattle.
Yeah.
Like,
did it at home at like right. I flew in for like a Christmas like Christmas break, and he did it that night before my 40th birthday, actually.
Over TV so dinners cute. Or what?
I
mean, what?
We had opened gifts, and then he said, "Oh, I have one more gift for you." And he got out this like book that he made. It's a scrapbook, and it has it said the story of us on the front, and it has a photo of us. And then I went through the scrapbook, and it had like he had basically. Are you getting embarrassed?
A little bit.
Okay. He had
this
basically
is so
like
cute.
It's the best. And he had the, like he had written out like every single date we'd been on, printed out photos, like walked me through like
what?
Oh
yeah.
My
walked
God.
Walked me through like our journey, and then the end it said continue. I was just like, oh my God, what a great gift! And then at the end it said to be continued forever with a question mark. And then I looked over and he was down on his knee.
That makes like every other proposal the worst. Ever.
Oh, I know. Right. I like
that's
sometimes
the
guys
greatest.
Are like, can you not tell that story? Can you just
oh,
not
it's
tell
so
it?
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just a little red right now.
Yeah,
I like it.
It was the sweetest thing in the world. Like
that's
it's
amazing.
Like if
and you said yes, or did you have to think about it?
Oh, I he was like, I was crying, and at one point he goes, "You actually haven't answered yet." And I was like, "Oh, sorry. Yes, that was a yes. Like I forgot to say yes."
Who's the first person you called?
My mom.
Was she freaking out in the trailer?
She was. They don't get cell service in there. Yeah, she was. She was. But she knew because he had. You could tell the story because he had called.
I'd called both of her parents like that afternoon when she was on the flight coming, just to ask for their blessing.
Oh my God.
But he didn't want to do it until I was on my way there because he was afraid someone would fuck it up. So he was like, just wait until she's in.
Both your parents talk a lot, so I didn't want to.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah. But no, I didn't ask for this, like, by any means, the ring. Like,
no,
this
I mean,
was all.
No, who asked
him.
For that? That's like.
I just said, Kardashian.
I'll be 100% honest with you. I just said silver. I said, just like, I like silver. I don't like gold as much.
No, and what's crazy about Sarah is she wears it everywhere. Like, I'm going. get a fake one. And like, she, I'm like, and I shouldn't say this on air because they'll be looking for you on the right. streets. But like, we're in Atlanta going to the bars and stuff. And this thing is like, I mean
she's a wag.
Yeah, okay, she's a wag. But she's like, be. I mean, yeah, those other fucking wives must be pissed.
Right. There's a couple of them that gave John, the husbands that said to John, like, fucking really, dude?
Because like, I was like, what is she? Why is she? It's got to be fake. This is the fake one, right? And they're like, no, that's the real thing. And I told you, I told Christine Arden. And I told Christine in the drag queen story when she came out with that big plated ring, and we were so drunk that we were like, she stole Sarah's ring. And we were we were so wasted that we were like, we got to get Sarah's ring back. We were like on a mission.
That is hilarious. I forgot about that.
All right, what's coming up for you? Because we want to plug your stuff, and then this has been amazing. I love this.
Yeah, you can look on sarahcolonna.com because I'm going to add dates, but I am. April 19th through the 22nd I'm at Tacoma Comedy Club. So if anyone is in that area, Seattle, Tacoma area, come. It's a beautiful club and it's super fun. So
are you auditioning for pilots? Or are you?
I'm not allowed to.
Because you're contracted through.
Yeah, Reddit. Since I'm a regular on the on Netflix. So it's weird because usually I'm like mad right now that I'm not getting pilot auditions,
That's
and
okay.
now
you don't need to.
I'm like, oh, I can't. Like it's kind of very freeing.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. But then also you're like, but wait, what if we don't get a second season? I missed out on pilot season. It never ends, the rotating.
It never ends.
Rotate.
And then you start, what do you guys practice now?
Yeah. We have another month before we go back.
So do you practice in Seattle?
Yeah, right in Seattle.
That's nice.
Yep. So yeah, I got another month. And you can also check out my podcast, Kicking It with John and Greg.
Oh. What do y'all talk about?
About 3 minutes of football and then about 57 minutes of whatever we want to.
Oh, really?
Similar to this.
It comes out every so often, but more so during the football season. It comes out once a week, and it's available at Seahawks.com or at the Apple Store.
Oh, great. Awesome. So the Seahawks support it?
They produce it, yeah.
Oh, wow.
They took it away from him producing it himself.
Yeah. They're like, we should probably do this.
It was a little off the rails for a bit.
Yeah, they were like, we'd prefer if we control the things that you say. Yeah.
That's okay. At least they
can. Oh, no, it's awesome. It's a great, it's cool. I think it's cool because they are supportive of it, and they like put it on their website, and you know, you're obviously going to get a lot more eyes on it when it's on that website, you know. So it stays a little family friendly, which is good.
All right, and then again with the website for your purses?
Clutchwomen.com.
Clutchwomen.com.
Love it. And do you guys have Instagrams or Twitters?
Yes, Sarah Colonna 1 is my Instagram, and Sarah, because apparently there was someone that got there before me, and then Sarah Colonna, it's up with two N's, is my Twitter.
John? And then you?
No.
You don't have any social media?
I think it might still be up there. I think I might still have a Twitter, but I haven't wrote on
it. After you
Instagram?
Got her number, it was
that
Instagram. Was all you really needed it for.
I did for a long time, and then I was way over it. And then
he got frustrated with humans.
Human beings.
I don't even know how to do the Instagram.
I looked for you on there.
I have it, but
I thought I found you. I thought I follow you.
Oh, you probably do. I just don't know because I don't know how to see who's doing what. I don't understand it.
Oh, my God, he's the worst.
It's the only Twitter I get. But the Instagram.
The Instagram.
I don't understand it.
It's not difficult.
It's really not hard. It's just a photo and then you just scroll through.
Yeah, but then like it'll like have a heart that like or a one or whatever. And I don't know. And I go on it and it's like a list of like names or something. And does it. I can't.
All right. I think you're on a different The Instagram than. Maybe you're on The Instagram and the rest of us are on Instagram.
Yeah, I think so.
It's not good. Anyways, yeah. Go ahead, Christine.
You can find me on all social media at Yo Laken.
And you can find me at Alec Led, AlecLedd. Don't ask. I'll tell you later. I already tell all again.
But I already know that, but I don't know why, yeah.
And you can find Worst Ever Podcast at Worst Ever Podcast and Worst Ever PC on Twitter. Email us at worsteverpodcast@gmail.com. And thank you guys so much for coming over. This was really fun.
Thank you.
Yes, and we have a live show coming up April 29th at the Gary Marshall Theater in Toluca Lake with special guest Boy Meets World's Danielle Fishel. So look for tickets soon. There'll be all the information will be up on our Instagram.
Holla.
Holla.
Bye.